ocean. Your eyes see everything. The slightest of your motions can make the continents ring. Yet in all your might and glory,
all right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Free American Hour. I'm your host, Clay Douglas. And just out of Washington, the intelligence chief, Mike McConnell, the director of national intelligence, is conferring with General Michael V. Hayden, director of the Central Intelligence Agencies, during a Senate hearing on Tuesday. Al-Qaeda is gaining in strength from its refuge in Pakistan and is steadily improving its ability to recruit, train, and position operatives capable of carrying out attacks inside the United States, the director of National Intelligence told the Senate panel on Tuesday. The director, Mike McConnell, told lawmakers that Osama bin Laden and his deputy, Ayman al-Zawahiri, remained in control of the terrorist group and promoted a new generation of lieutenants. He said al-Qaeda was also improving what he called the last key aspect of its ability to attack the U.S., producing militants, including new Western recruits, capable of blending into American society and attacking domestic targets. A senior intelligence official said Tuesday the testimony was based in part on new evidence that al-Qaeda operatives in Pakistan were training Westerners, most likely including American citizens, to carry out attacks. The official said there was no indication as yet that al-Qaeda had succeeded in getting operatives into the United States. What is all of that about? Well, it's about setting you up for another attack on the U.S. And it's obvious that their Military Commissions Act and their homegrown domestic terrorism law bill, they are ready to swoop down on us all. The hammer's getting ready to fall. And on one other aspect before I get to my guest here, there's the unexplained cutting of the cables, internet cables, it's undoubtedly deliberate damage to communication throughout the Middle East and Asia. Is it a warning or is it something even more deadly? The cutting of multiple undersea cables in several different locations, hundreds of miles apart, continues to arouse suspicion and stir speculation. It seems that the activities represent, at the very least, a warning shot across the bow of certain Middle Eastern and Asian countries, and may even signify the imminence of a major geopolitical event. In space 4 days, the Middle East and Asia has experienced unprecedented mass internet outages after no less than 4 undersea internet cables were cut without explanation. Internet blackouts were reported in large tracts of Asia, Middle East, North Africa after the cable connections were severed. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United Emirates, Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Bahrain, Pakistan, and India all experienced severe problems. Only Israel and Iraq have not. We'll be right back with my guest, Nicholas Perrin.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
All right, we're back, and my guest today is Nicholas Perrin, and we're going to be talking about a director who has done a film, and the premise is the director shares the ideas of Iran's hardline president, but has produced what he says is the first film giving an Islamic view of Jesus Christ in a bid to show the common ground between Muslims and Christians. According to the article, Nader Talabazadeh sees his movie, Jesus, the Spirit of God, as an Islamic answer to Western productions like Mel Gibson's 2004 blockbuster, The Passion of Christ, which he praised as admirable, but quite simply wrong. The film is also being made into a major 20-episode television series to be broadcast over state-run Iranian national television. Of course, if the television stations haven't been taken down like the internet. He says, Gibson's film is a very good film. I mean it that it is a well-crafted movie, but the story is wrong. It was not like that. Okay. The film is also, or Nader says, referring to two key differences. Islam sees Jesus as a prophet, not the Son of God, and does not believe he was crucified. Now, Nicholas Perrin respectfully refutes the Islamic film version of who Jesus is, explaining how the film, Jesus Christ is viewed merely as a prophet, but not as the Son of God. Nicholas, how'd you get interested in this, and what's your background?
Well, hi Clay, I'm a professor of New Testament at Wheaton College, and I recently came out with a book. 2 weeks ago, it's a very new book, called Lost in Transmission, What We Can Know About the Words of Jesus. And this book speaks, at least indirectly, to many of the claims made in not a Talib Zadeh film.
Okay. You heard my news stories earlier.
Yes. That's quite interesting.
Do you think we are being set up? I mean, 9/11 was obviously, from all of the evidence that I've seen and the proof that I've seen, obviously did not happen the way the government says it happened. And by the things like finding the passport unburnt and the automobile with Islamic training manuals in it, it looks like a setup. And I've made the comment several times that the war on terror is a war on anyone that doesn't want to go along with one world government, and that somebody's trying to get us to go to war against Muslims, against Arabs here. Would you agree with any of those statements?
Well, I don't know, Clay, if I can speak to all that.
American. You saw it happen on TV. You saw what happened on TV. And those buildings are engineers,
right.
Firefighters, and anybody else involved say those buildings couldn't have fallen that way. The planes hitting them couldn't have done that. So, I mean, that's what I'm basing my opinions on.
I just can't speak to that. I don't know. I haven't studied 9/11. I haven't studied the government report. I mean, I suppose I'm interested in talking about is this film, which seems in some ways like the first Muslim cultural offensive into the West, a kind of a cultural apologetic propaganda, if you will, attempt to, I wouldn't say proselytize, but I would say spread the Muslim word to the West and throughout the rest of the world.
Now, according to the Jewish Talmud, Jesus is burning in hell in a pit of burning simon. So the Talmud is not very kind to Jesus, and the Muslims seem to revere Jesus. Is that not correct?
That's right. In the Talmud, we have two statements that refer to Jesus being a sorcerer and deceiver of Israel. Islam, on the other hand, it has a very positive view of Jesus. In Islam, there's five major figures, and Jesus is one of them. But of course, the ultimate figure is Muhammad, and Jesus' role as a prophet is to point to Muhammad. So, whereas differently from Judaism, Islam says Jesus is a positive figure and very important figure. Differently from Christianity, Islam says Jesus was not the Son of God.
At the Council of Nicaea, I think it was, 250 or 350 A.D.?
325 A.D.
325 A.D.?
Mm-hmm.
They pretty much promoted Jesus to being the Son of God, to being God himself.
Well, I wouldn't say that way.
And I've made the statement, and again, this is just my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's similar to what Dan Brown says in his book, The Da Vinci Code, but that's just not quite it. Historically, we know that the biblical writers referred to Jesus as God, St. Paul, for example, and you can't get very far into the Gospel of Mark before you realize that Mark is making an implicit connection between God and Jesus, and there's numerous other connections. So very early on, historically speaking, Christians saw Jesus as not just the Christ, as the Messiah, but as God. And even by 112 A.D., we have a letter from Trajan, where even the those who don't belong to the church, those who are casual observers, recognize that Christians say that Christ is God.
You quoted Paul. You said St. Paul. Is that the, are you referring to the Apostle Paul?
Yeah, the Apostle Paul, huh?
The Apostle Paul, I've had other guests on that, theologians, that had looked very carefully at Paul, who, and we seem to have a couple of problems with that. First of all, he wasn't Paul at all. He changed his name. His name was Saul, and he was a Pharisee that Jesus railed against.
Well,
and so are we following Pauline Christianity? Be a good slave. Don't rebel against your masters. Or, as Thomas Jefferson did, he cut all the words of Paul out, left the words of Jesus to form the Thomas Jefferson Bible.
Well, let's see. Well, you said a lot there, Clay. I mean, a couple of things. One is, yes, Paul was called Saul, and on the road to Damascus, he reports that he had a vision of the risen Christ, and that was his conversion experience. And from that point on, he was called Paul, and rather than persecuting the church, became probably, in his own day, the most singular, most important Christian. But what Paul teaches is pretty much in alignment with what Jesus teaches. Now, a big difference is he's on the other side of the cross and resurrection. So Jesus, when he taught, was Jesus spoke in parables and gave various teachings, but Paul was interested in other things, given the fact that Paul was reflecting after the fact on the cross and resurrection.
I mean, couldn't it be possible, being a conspiracy theorist anyway, according to my detractors, isn't it possible that on the road to Damascus, Paul just had the revelation, I don't have to kill these Christians, I can take it over. I'm an educated man, I'm a Pharisee. And
here's the trick. Historically, how do you explain? I mean, Saul, as a Pharisee, had deep convictions that the Christians were dead wrong and that they deserved to be punished and had to be eradicated. And so Saul was on his way to haul the Christians to prison. What's difficult for historians to explain, apart from something profound happening on the road to Damascus, is what exactly brought about the change that made him someone who was attempting to wipe out Christianity to was one of its biggest propagators in continuity, basic continuity, with what the Christians were already preaching.
You know what the Mossad is, right?
Sorry, the Mossad?
Mossad. That's the Israeli Secret Service.
Oh, okay, right.
Like our CIA. And their motto is warfare through deception. And isn't that what Jesus tried to tell us about the Pharisees in the first place? That they were deceiving us? And in today's times, if many of Judeo-Christians want to believe or have been led to believe that the Jews are the promised people, and there's a whole other school of thought that says it wasn't the Jews. The Jews were simply one tribe of the of Israel, and the other Israelites of that day crossed the Caucasus Mountains to become white Aryan Americans or white Christians, Russian Christians, or white German Christians.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about Jesus, and that is when we do have record of him railing, talk about railing, he doesn't really rail against Paul so much as some of the Jewish contemporaries, particularly the Jews in leadership of the temple.
Hold on just a moment and let you finish that thought after we take this break.
Okay.
And we'll open up the phone lines. I know, I'm probably stirring up the controversy again. But hey, that's just what I do. Call in 800-313-9443 if you want to talk with me or Nicholas Perrin. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cartivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cartivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
We're back and we're talking with Nicholas Barron. And, all right, Nicholas, I mean, how do we, we're trying to, iron out the truth here, right? Trying to get the truth. It's always right. been my goal in life to know the truth, to know what's happening. And there are people out there that try to deceive. I mean, how do you stand? Was there anywhere that Jesus told us that the Jews were the chosen people, or isn't that the followers of Jesus from all walks, all races, all followings? If he was trying to tell us, I believe that God is within us, and if he was promoted to God, maybe that was a reason to keep people like me and you from aspiring to be the kind of man that he was in life.
Yeah, well, boy, again, maybe I'll talk a little bit about Jesus and Judaism. I mean, Jesus was a Jew, and there's just no disputing that, and he took his Judaism very seriously. But what happened was in the time of Jesus very early in his ministry came into conflict with the Jewish leaders. Modern-day interpreters of the Gospels charge that Christianity is anti-Semitic because you read in the Gospels, for example, some words of Jesus that are very, very critical of the Jewish leadership. But what was
the Jews who pretend to be Jews but aren't Jews are the children of the devil, didn't he say?
Well, that quote's from Revelation. Yeah, you're pulling together what Jesus says in John chapter 8 about you not sons of Abraham, you're children of the devil, right? And So that's true. He said that if you're not true sons of Abraham. Jesus said, if you were truly sons of Abraham, you'd listen to me. And what Jesus is doing is a couple things. One, negatively, he's criticizing the Jews of his day who do not respond to his message, particularly the Jews in leadership who hold down the administer of the temple. And, you know, we all know the story of Jesus walking in the temple and turning over the tables. He does that to say that God's going to judge the temple and destroy the nerve center of the Judaism of his day. But while Jesus is doing that negatively, positively, he's reconstituting Israel, the 12 tribes around himself, and he symbolizes that by calling 12 disciples and sends them out. So what Jesus is, Jesus has a complicated relationship with Judaism because he himself is Jewish. He sees what he's doing as the fulfillment of Israel's dreams, but Christianity very quickly becomes separated from Judaism because you have to make up your mind as to whether Jesus was really the Messiah.
Now, in the Pontius Pilate's description of Jesus, he described him as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed man with a very beautiful countenance, and that doesn't really fit with the tribe of Judah. And there were no Jews. They talked about the tribe of Judah, which was one tribe. Some of the Christian identity pastors try to point that out to people that if Jesus was blonde hair and blue eyed, the descendant of David, then he was really an Aryan or a Caucasian. I mean, the tribes of according to the identity theology. The Israeli tribes dispersed and crossed the Caucasus Mountains to become Caucasian. Tribe of Dan went to Denmark, and the other tribes dispersed in other areas of Europe.
But there's no historical evidence to that effect. I mean, where would you find any historical evidence that Jesus had blonde hair and blue eyes?
A letter from Pontius Pilate to Caesar.
We don't have anything like that in within history.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I mean, let me go back to something else you said, and that is, you know, what Jesus' basic message was. I mean, Jesus' basic message was this: that he was somehow the fulfillment of what God was trying to do in Israel. And that when Jesus preaches a kingdom, he preaches, what he's preaching is something that's all-encompassing, and this kingdom, using language of the prophets, would be something that would overtake the earth. And the early Christians understood themselves to be working along those lines, and that they would be members of this kingdom and invite others to be part of this kingdom.
Well, that's pretty much what's happened, isn't it?
Well, yeah, in a sense. I mean, but it's, you know, people will say, well, did Jesus come to preach a political kingdom? And too quickly, people say no. In a sense, the kingdom Jesus preached was very political, because the kingdom Jesus preached was Jesus' message was deep opposition to the Roman Imperium of his day.
Hold on a moment. We got to take a break.
Okay.
Music playing. We'll take your calls at 800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth.
So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had a 80-90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. Okay, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
All right, we're back here. All right, sir. Where do we leave off there?
Well, we're talking about Jesus and what Jesus' distinctive message was. I don't think that Jesus was saying that you have to develop the God within or yourself within it, anything like that. I mean, that's more of kind of a Gnostic idea. What Jesus was talking about was the God of Israel being the true Creator God and the God of all the earth. And that it was incumbent upon those who heard him to hear his message and to align with God's purposes.
Okay. And this film that's been made.
Yeah.
What is the message of this film? I mean, obviously the Jewish Talmud does not have the same view of Jesus that the Christians do.
Right.
And if the Muslims have a kinder view, shouldn't we look at them as allies rather than enemies?
Well, you know, Jesus has received three different takes from the three different, you know, major world religions. And there are some ways in which the Islam take dovetails nicely with the Christian take, but in some ways the Jewish interpretation not just of Jesus, but say of the understanding of reality is much closer to Christianity. So let's put it this way. Yes, what Islam and Christianity have in common as far as Jesus goes is they both agree this was an important man. This is a good guy. This is a God-appointed person. Now, the major difference, of course, is that Islam will not say, as Christianity did very early on, that Jesus was God. What Muslims say is he was a slave of God. He was not son of God. God is so transcendent, he would not condescend to take on flesh, as the Christians very early in their history claimed. And so that's a breaking point between Christianity and Islam. Now, a similarity between Judaism and Christianity vis-a-vis Islam is that what Islam will teach about Jesus is that he was mysteriously raised up to Allah, as the Quran puts it. And although Muslim commentators have different opinions as to what that really means, what Muslims will say is Jesus did not die, could not have died. But in the Jewish tradition and the Christian tradition, God's prophets die. And the suffering is part of our calling. And this is antithetical to the Muslim take.
How does the Muslim faith, if they revere and respect Jesus, how does that work against Christianity the way Judaism does?
Well, I mean, what Judaism says about Jesus is that whatever he was, this is classic Judaism, whatever Jesus was, he was not the Messiah. Whether he was a deceiver or something else, Judaism says the Messiah is yet to come. Christians say, no, Jesus was the Messiah. He is the one in whose Israel's hopes are fulfilled. Islam says, yeah, he was the Messiah and agree with Christianity, but Muslims redefine Messiah in such a way as to really gut it of its meaning. Messiah means anointed one. And again, the difference is, the basic difference between Islam and Christianity is Islam refuses to countenance the possibility that God would become flesh. And Jesus was, as it were, merely a preliminary step to the great prophet Muhammad. And Christians say, no, the final revelation comes from Jesus Christ. Muslims say, no, Muhammad gets the last word. Their messages are very different. And so that makes a huge amount of difference, too.
So you say when people succumb to the temptation of ignoring challenges to their faith, they're in the end demonstrating they're more committed to the feeling of having lack of truth than they are to the truth themselves.
Yeah.
And you don't believe that anyone should be... No one should be more ready than the Christian to explore the truth.
Right. That's true. And let me talk a little bit about Islam and Christianity and how they come to the decisions about the history of Jesus. Now, part of the reason I wrote my book, Lost in Transmission, What We Can Know About the Words of Jesus, is because lately there's been a lot of slipshod scholarship on a popular level in regards to what we can know about the words of Jesus. Many people are saying, well, we really can't know much at all, and so the Gospels can't be trusted. I wrote the book to argue that actually, speaking as a historian of antiquity, the Gospels do tell us an awfully lot about Jesus that we can trust, and part of the reason we can trust the words of Jesus is because the Gospels are written very close to the time of Jesus by people who are tied into communities who either knew Jesus, who had members who either knew Jesus or certainly knew people who knew Jesus. So it was all very verifiable or refutable. Now the difference is the Muslim take of Jesus, what we learn about Jesus in Islam is in the Hadith and the Quran, all of which were written at least 500 years after the death of Jesus. And so what Islam asks of its adherents is to believe that its record of Jesus, which is at some points parallel to, but at some points quite different from what we read in the Gospels, it's asking its adherents to say, no, you have to believe that when Muhammad received his revelation in the desert, it trumps everything that you might have read by Jesus' close associates within years after Jesus' death. And speaking as a historian, I mean, that simply just doesn't wash.
Run that back by for me.
Sorry, say again?
Run that, repeat that.
Well, here's the thing. Let's say someone wanted to write a biography of Clay Douglas, and so someone does that, say, I don't know how old you are, Clay, but say 3 or 4 decades down the road, you're dead and buried. Someone says, I'm going to write his biography. Does it by contacting your friends, people who knew you, people who listened to you? Does it within years of your death, just only a few years? And not only that, but that there are 4 accounts. Now imagine someone gets up 500 years from now who decides to write a biography quite out of thin air and says, no, this is the true biography. Which biography are you going to trust? Well, the one that was written right in your own context where people had access to eyewitness testimony, not the one written 500 years later. So, the Quran has a take on Jesus, but there's no historical foundation for many of the claims made there. You see?
Yes, sir. I can see that.
Okay.
But everybody that's written about Jesus, we're talking about something that's 2,000 years old here.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we really determine, if their perceptions were accurate? Especially in the case of Paul, because he never met Jesus. He was never with Jesus.
Yeah, right.
And the whole term, be a good slave, don't rebel against your masters, has a very negative connotation for me.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that earlier. Let's put that in context. I mean, sometimes Paul gets a bad rap, and I think it's because we misunderstand Paul. Paul wrote a letter preserved in our Bible called Philemon. In this letter of Philemon, what happens is this, is that there is a runaway slave named Onesimus who comes to Paul, maybe comes to him from refuge, and Paul converts him to the Christian faith. Onesimus' master is a man named Philemon who lives some distance away, and Paul writes this letter to Philemon and says this, look, I want you to take Philemon and take him back, but I want you to remember that you are a brother in Christ, just like Onesimus is now a brother in Christ, and so I want you to keep that in mind, and I want you to know that he's been very useful to me, and as you do that, Paul knew, this would transform the slave owner's relationship with the slave himself. In fact, I mean, in the Roman world of Paul's day, estimates vary between the slave population constituting between 40 and 60% of the population. And it simply was completely impractical for Paul to stand up and say, okay, all slaves need to go home. I mean, there would be complete chaos. No one would be able to feed the slaves. But Paul knew that in the gospel, that people obeyed the gospel and gave their lives to Christ and started treating each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, then the whole institution of slavery would just fall by the wayside. So Paul knew that the important thing was an issue of the heart, and that when he says slaves in Colossians, you're thinking about slaves submit to your masters. In the ancient world, sometimes it was a good thing to be a slave. In other words, people aspired to be slaves because it was a way of climbing the social and economic ladder rather than being a paid day laborer. You could actually increase your advantage by becoming a slave. It was basically a way of becoming an employee, and Roman law often made a provision of having a 7-year limit on slavery. So it was a type of employer-employee relationship Now, this is not all the case. There are exceptions. But so I think the way that translates into our setting is, I mean, the best analogy is the employer-employee relationship. And what Paul would be saying to us today is, hey, when it comes to working with your boss, do what he says. You know, be a good worker, and this will bring, you do your job diligently, this will bring the gospel into a good light. And as far as you employers, you slave masters, you've got to treat your people well, too. So this is all part of reflecting well on calling as Christians. But it's not a matter of, oh, you know, you just got to sit there and, you know, let people walk on you like doormats. I don't think that's it at all. I think what you have in the gospel is a recipe for the oppressive hierarchies actually unfolding.
Well, I have the opinion that they have refined the art of slavery to the point today that the slaves don't know they're slaves.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, so for people living on a couple dollars an hour and have to work, you know, 60-hour work weeks or two jobs to make ends meet, what's really the difference between that and what a slave would do in other parts of the world?
Well, you know, that's kind of my point. I mean, it's called economic slavery. I'm not a slave, man. I can go out and get my pickup truck and go down and get a beer. I'm not a slave.
Yeah, well, right. Well,
it's also my opinion, I don't know whether you'll agree with this, that the money changers that Jesus ran out of the temple, mm-hmm. they're still with us. They just changed the name of the temple. They call it the Federal Reserve now.
Well, you know, that there's truth to that. Because, I mean, part of what Jesus is objecting to is oppressive economic systems. I mean, what many of the leading Jews of the day who were tied in with the temple, they had access to fabulous amounts of wealth. I mean, the temple was like the central bank, and Jesus, as well as other Jews of his day, and this is preserved in the rabbinic writings, seemed to allude to the fact that somebody is embezzling from the temple, and not only that, using that money to extend loans to people who have, you know, subprime mortgages, and then call in the loan suddenly, and then foreclose on the property, and do this repeatedly. So what's happening is you have a certain economic elite who are profiteering over a wobbly economy and exacting usury, and extending their land holdings, and in the process are dispossessing people of their land.
Are you talking about the Bible or today? I mean,
No, I'm talking about the first century.
You just described the whole Federal Reserve racket.
Well, I'll tell you, in the Bible, there's a biblical logic, and that is the land of Israel belonged to the people, and what made Israel distinctive from all the other nations was, in the ancient Near East, it was the king who owned the land, and if you were in a kingdom, if you lived in the king's realm in the ancient Near East, you were more or less a tenant farmer working for the king. What made Israel different is that Yahweh, the God of Israel, said, I'm the king, but you all are going to be the leaseholders. In other words, you all are going to have a piece of the land, and you need to keep it that way. And so in the Torah, very specific laws are set up to ensure that the land is handed down within families from generation to generation. And so it was a huge crime to take someone's land away from them because it was, in effect, disinheriting them from Israel and therefore from the people of God. And, you know, sometimes I wonder whether we need to take that more seriously in our own day. I mean, the whole idea that the government can come in and say, you know, I really like your property and like to turn it into a more posh shopping mall.
Or a superhighway.
Or whatever, right? You know, to me, what that sounds like in the ancient Near East is the way that the pagan countries surrounding Israel thought about land. That is, it's the people who run the government, the king, who makes the final call as to what to do with the land. But in Israel, what made them distinctive in their economy is, no, if you own the land, no one could take it away from you.
Well, that's the way this country was set up. You know, we talk about the New World Order today, and that's when I mentioned the money changers. Jesus ran out of the temple. I point out that it's not the New World Order. It's an old world order. Mm-hmm. And communism trying to say that the state owns the land, owns the farms, corporate farms, regional planning, trying to tell people what they can do on their own land, that's taken away from what God gave us, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, we're going to take a break.
Yep.
We'll be right back here, 800-313-9443, or you can call me if you want to help support the Free American.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
We're back, and James, you were a classmate, or a you graduated actually from the same high school as Dan Brown, the author of the Da Vinci Code.
That's right.
You're willing to go head to head against your old schoolmate, but I'll just substitute for him. Why should somebody? Irregardless of whether you see Jesus as a divine or the Messiah, He was a man. Why would anybody have such a problem? Why did the Da Vinci Code cause so much controversy by suggesting that he could have had a wife, he could have had a lover? I mean, he was a man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Christianity, Orthodox Christianity does say that Jesus was a man. He wasn't a Martian. I mean, he was a man. The question was, what was he also divine? And Christianity has also always said, yes, Jesus was 100% man, but also 100% God. And what Brown wants to say is that, it was only a couple centuries later that people sat around and said, oh, yeah, let's make him divine, too. Now, ultimately, you know, that's going to be a decision of faith, but what Christianity does do is invites you to examine the historical facts. In my book, Lost in Transmission, what I do, I make a case that, the record of Jesus, the Gospels, isn't fabrication. It can be trusted, and so people have to read about the words of Jesus, read what he did, and decide for themselves. Does this look like when Jesus heals the demoniac, when he turns water into wine, when he walks on water, you know, however you want to explain that, did he do those things? And if he did, is this the kind of thing that would lead you to believe that he was also God? And personally, and I talk about this in the book, about how I became convinced as an adult that this was true.
Okay. All right, now, how can someone get your book, and how can they get in touch with you if they wanted to talk to you?
Well, the book, Lost in Transmission, it's available at the major chains, the Borders and Barnes and Nobles. It's probably also be available at your local Christian bookstore, or you can order it on Amazon.com. The publisher is Thomas Nelson. So you can go to the Thomas Nelson website and order the book as well. And and I'm sure if you wanted, people could Google me too. They could track me down. I teach at Wheaton College, so I can be reached that way too. So, but the book's Lost in Transmission: What We Can Know About the Words of Jesus, and it's kind of an autobiography. I wrote the book in a way for myself 25 years ago when I was first thinking about these things, but I had no way of navigating the facts. That is, how do we get at the truth of the historical Jesus? And there was nothing out there. So for people who are out there who are struggling as to what to do with this Jesus and can we trust the historical sources, I make a case that we can.
All right. Listen, I appreciate you being on with me. It's been a real pleasure.
All right, Clay. Hey, you take care.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
With recent